Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Happy Easter.
Good morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois, on this third Sunday of Easter. It is wonderful to have you with us today, whether you're gathering with us in person or whether you're watching this at home. We are so glad that you are here with us to celebrate the joys of the Easter season. God has given us a beautiful day to gather together as his people, to sing his praises, and to receive his gifts. And so today, we continue to celebrate that Easter joy and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning, for our worship, we will follow Divine Service Setting 4. It's all printed there for you in the bulletin. I invite you to stand as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with the words of the introit. In your presence there is fullness of joy. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Your right hand. Pleasures forevermore. Please remain standing as we sing as our hymn of praise today, Hail, Thou Once Despised Jesus. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The first reading appointed for the third Sunday of Easter comes from the book of Acts, chapter 3. Beginning with verse 11. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety we have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue by chanting the psalm of the day. We chant the psalm responsively by whole verse. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The epistle reading is from the first letter of St. John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as He is righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia in verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As they were talking about these things, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See My hands and My feet, that it is I Myself. Touch Me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate before them. Then He said to them, "These are My words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of My Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard the word of God, we now join together, along with millions of Christians around the world, to speak our common Christian faith. This morning we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is Children of the Heavenly Father. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle from 1 John chapter 3. And this morning I'm especially going to be focusing in on the first two verses of this reading, where John is addressing his hearers and referring to them as God's beloved children. We think about what it really means to be considered a child of God. And certainly, we just sang about what that means in the sermon hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father. But we know that by God's grace, because we are his children, that we have so much to look forward to. And we know that the future is bright because of what our Lord Jesus has done for us. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, something that I've noticed in my life, and I'm assuming that a lot of you have noticed this in your lives too, is that my understanding and my experience of time is not the same now as it always has been. So, in other words, what I mean is that I've noticed in myself that the passage of time, to me, is a lot different than when I was a kid, or even when I was, I don't know, like a teenager or a 20-something. But these days, it just seems like time moves a lot quicker for me than it ever did before. And I know from some conversations that I've had with some of you that this is a somewhat universal experience, right? Lots of people feel this way. The older you get, the quicker time seems to pass. I think the world, especially right now, is kind of, you know, feeling this because it seems like we just lost a whole year in the blink of an eye because of COVID. And so I feel like a lot of people right now are feeling that time is just moving way, way too fast. I think, you know, if you think about what it was like to experience time as a kid, you might even remember days when it seemed to you like time was too slow, right? When you were just always impatient for whatever the next thing was going to be, you know? And this is kind of like a common refrain in our house because our kids tend to be a little impatient about things, especially fun things, right? If we tell them, hey, you're going to have to wait like an hour or you're going to have to wait until later this afternoon for something, it's like we always hear, oh, that's going to take forever, right? And we have to teach them how to be patient. Good things come to those who wait, you know, all of those kinds of cliches. But it's just kind of interesting. The whole phenomenon is interesting to me because actually time is one of those things in life that should be the most reliable and the most consistent, should never really change, right? A day is always a day. An hour is always an hour. A second is always a second. It doesn't change. And yet it feels like it changes. The longer we live, the faster it seems to go. I was having a conversation recently with a couple other dads in our congregation and kind of was making me think about this in a little bit of a different way. One of the things that we were talking about was how, you know, when you're a kid, it seems like you always have the next milestone to look forward to. So, you know, it might just be something simple like you're looking forward to the next grade level in school. You're looking forward to the next sports season, right? You're looking forward to whatever that next step is toward your education and future career and whatever it happens to be. And those milestones tend to be very close to one another, like in terms of frequency. They happen very, very rapidly when you're a kid. And it seems like all of those kinds of milestones tend to be things that you're gaining in your life, right? So things that you're excited about, things that you're looking forward to, things that are just new. But then as you enter into adulthood, I mean, you still have milestones to look forward to, don't get me wrong, but maybe they come a little bit less frequently. Maybe sometimes they're completely impossible to predict. So instead of constantly, as an adult, you know, impatiently waiting for that next thing to come, instead what happens to a lot of us is we kind of drift back into these daily routines of ours, and it's almost like we go into autopilot sometimes in between milestones, where you're just kind of like getting up, going to work, coming home, going to bed, and you kind of just do that over and over and over and over and over again. But then, all of a sudden, there's a milestone. And it kind of wakes you up, kind of snaps you out of it, and it makes you think about how much time has passed since your last milestone. Now, these aren't always like negative things. There's lots of positive things that adults look forward to, right? Things like getting married and having kids and advancing in your careers and all those kinds of things. But at a certain point, our adult milestones, grown-up milestones, become things that instead of being things that we're gaining in our lives, a lot of times they're things that we are starting to lose. So just for a few examples, like let's say, you know, you grow up and you move out of your parents' house, you go get your own place, and you're all settled in, and then the phone call comes from mom and dad, and they tell you, hey, when you come home next weekend, I just want you to know, we changed your bedroom into a home gym or a craft room or something like that, right? So all of a sudden, you kind of lose that little piece of your life, your childhood. Or maybe you find out that your childhood pet is sick and maybe getting close to passing away. Or what about this? What about those moments when you're invited to some social event and it's going to keep you out later than you normally stay up? And the next morning, you kind of have a hard time waking up, and you realize you've lost some of that energy that you used to have when you were younger, right? Or what about this? What about when it's about time to sell your vehicle that you've been driving for years and years, and you've been putting lots of miles on, and you've had a lot of memories in this car, and now it's time to sell it, and it's the end of an era, and it's kind of sad, right? Sometimes it's because your kids are the ones that are piling up all the milestones. You have kids of your own, and I'm starting to feel that this week because our son Zachary's turning 4 years old tomorrow, and I'm trying to figure out how in the world did that time go by so fast? How did this happen? It's like time is just moving so quickly, and we want to do everything that we can to stop it, because one of the difficult things, one of the hardest things about growing up is coming to the realization that in this broken world, every single day that we live is one day closer to the end. How's that for an uplifting sermon this morning? Somebody tell Pastor it's not Lent anymore, right? It's the Easter season. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Okay, so with all of that in mind then, let's turn back to this epistle reading. 1 John chapter 3. Whenever we have an opportunity to read and study from John's epistles, one of the things that's really good for us to keep in mind is that these are the words of a man who lived a very, very long life. So by the time John actually is sitting down to write these words in this epistle, he's actually in his mid to upper 80s, like he's pushing 90 years old. And so it's kind of interesting because we might expect that a man like John, who had a long life filled with all kinds of, you know, negative sorts of milestones, for example, things like how he was the last remaining disciple alive. And so he kept having to hear about his friends, the other disciples of Christ, being killed, being martyred for the faith, and he was the only one left. What terrible milestones to have to walk through. Or just the persecution that would come from the Romans when he would preach and teach about Christ, which ultimately led to eventually him having this really big milestone in his life, later in his life, when he was banished to the island of Patmos and most likely had to do hard labor for about 5 or 6 years as an elderly man, right? You would think somebody like that, who had experienced so much loss from an earthly perspective in his life, you would expect him to be kind of like bitter, maybe angry, right? Or at least a little sad and depressed in his old age. But when you read these words here, you find out that the exact opposite is true. John writes with all kinds of enthusiasm and optimism and encouragement for the next generation of Christians who are going to be taking on and carrying the torch, especially once John himself is finally called home to heaven. And that passage right here in chapter 3 is definitely no exception to that. You just look at this very first verse. John says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God." And so we are, right? I mean, John's joy is just leaping off of this page. And notice that John is actually including himself in this, right? He talks in terms of we, that we should be called the children of God, right? An almost 90-year-old man talking about himself as a child. Right? It's wonderful because you see that John is still kind of in that youthful mindset. You know, the mindset of somebody who still believes that they have a lot to look forward to. Not just somebody who maybe is feeling anxious because they think that their best years are behind them. And I think you and I can learn a lot from this way of thinking. Because the truth is that a lot of us struggle with the concept of our own mortality, right? Even Christians like us, even Easter people who believe and hope and trust in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, even for us, sometimes we kind of get a little afraid of death and afraid of the unknown. And we tend to want to cling to things that we are afraid of losing in this world. What happens a lot of times is that fear can actually prevent us from loving and serving God and our neighbors the way that we know that we ought to. Or if you put it another way, if everything is about just survival, if everything is about preserving what we have here on earth, if that's our ultimate goal and motivation in life, then we actually know that eventually it's going to fail. Because time keeps marching on, and the clock is undefeated. And so we know that in this world, all things come to an end. So rather than, you know, going into that spiritual autopilot and just letting time pass us by, it'd be much better for us to get back into the mindset of a child, to have a childlike, optimistic faith that believes and trusts that our Heavenly Father is going to give us more milestones to look forward to. And because of that optimism, because of that childlike faith, that then leads us to live our lives here on earth differently from the way that everybody else does. There's a popular story about Martin Luther. I'm not actually sure that it's exactly accurate or not. Scholars kind of debate about this because there's nothing about it in his personal writings. But this is a story that's been handed down over the years. And the way the story goes is that at some point, someone was asking Dr. Luther how we as Christians should be prepared for the end times. What should we do to be prepared for the end of the world? And the story goes that Luther responded, allegedly. He said that if I knew that the world was going to go to pieces tomorrow, I would still plant my apple tree today. So whether or not Luther actually said that, the teaching behind that story is very Lutheran in the sense that, you know, we live every day acknowledging that the world could end at any moment and that our own lives, our earthly lives, could also end at any moment. We could be called to heaven today. And yet, that doesn't change the optimistic, childlike faith that we are called to have. It doesn't change the way that we love and serve God or our neighbor. It doesn't change the way that we serve creation, even by planting an apple tree, even if we were to expect that the world would end tomorrow. And the world would say, that makes no sense. Why would you do that? Right? It goes completely against common sense and the world's wisdom. But it's just like John says in verse 2, the reason why the world does not know us is because it did not know him. The world believes that if you're really going to grow up, if you're really going to be mature, part of that means you should just realize that life is short and you have no hope, so you might as well just live for yourself and do whatever you want to do because that's all that there is. But thanks be to God, we know way better than that. And John says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But when he appears, we shall be like him. You are God's child. Jesus Christ made you God's child by coming into this world and reconciling your relationship to your Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ died for you and rose again for you on the third day. He sent you his Holy Spirit to bring you to faith, to wash you clean by the waters of holy baptism, to adopt you into God's family. We are God's children now. And that means that we have a bright future ahead of us. It doesn't matter how old we happen to get here on earth. We have a lot to look forward to. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has promised us one more amazing milestone. He has promised that he's going to return, that he is going to raise us up, that he's going to give us an eternal home of peace and grace and mercy. We are going to live with him for all eternity. So that means we don't have to be afraid of growing up. We don't have to be afraid of time just passing us by, because in the new creation, time is irrelevant, because nothing's going to age, nothing's going to decay, nothing will be lost ever again or destroyed except for sin, death, and the devil himself. And that means in the meantime, like John, we can approach our world, our lives, our ministry with a childlike, optimistic faith. And even like Luther, supposedly, we could even plant a tree, even if we believed that the world would end tomorrow, because we live without fear of what we might lose here on earth, right? We live as God's children. as children of the Heavenly Father, and though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely to preserve us pure and holy. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have a number of prayer requests and updates to our prayer list, so I'll just go through these very quickly. First, recovering from surgery, we are including Dee Howe. Some of you remember we were praying last week for her upcoming surgery. The surgery was successful to remove a tumor from her brain, and she has been released from the hospital, so we'll pray for a quick recovery for her. We continue to pray for baby Layla Mae Bailey. She is still hospitalized in the NICU after being born premature. We pray for Case Everett Tolley. Baby Case was able to come home after spending several days in the NICU. Today we're also including Brenda Wiest. That is the sister of Bob Wiest. Brenda found out recently that she has been diagnosed with cancer. We give thanks and praise today for two baptisms, one that took place yesterday, Heidi Louise Rossi, that is the daughter of Daniel, and Ashley Rossi, that's the granddaughter of Diane Y. So she was baptized yesterday afternoon. And then today, after our worship service, we are giving thanks for the baptism of Jace Henry Michael, that is the newborn son of Clinton and Kayla Michael, and he'll be baptized, like I said, after the service today. And then finally, we are keeping the family of Connie Brink in our prayers today. That is the sister of Jerry Schnicker. She passed away on Thursday, so we'll certainly keep your family in our prayers, Jerry. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, in your presence we find fullness of joy, and by your right hand, Christ Jesus, you win and deliver peace forevermore. In the midst of this world's sins and sorrows, give us peace in the knowledge of his salvation and confident hope in the resurrection of the dead. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, by the incarnation of your Son and the reconciliation of his cross, you have made us your children and gathered us into your holy church. Sustain the preaching of your holy word and its message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name among us and all the nations of the world. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Hans Trinklein in South Korea, and also our sister congregation, St. John's Lutheran in New Minden, and their pastor, Tim Miller. We also continue to pray for our school here in Hoyleton. We thank you that you led us to call John Schaff to be our administrator. Send him your Holy Spirit as he deliberates the call. Bless him and his wife Leandra as they visit Hoyleton today. And we ask above all that your will would be done. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, preserve our nation and its leaders, especially Joe Biden, our president, and J.B. Pritzker, our governor. Preserve order and decency in this fallen world by their hands, and restrain the sins and deceptions of the lawless, that we may practice righteousness while awaiting the eternal peace promised in Christ's wounds alone. Guide and protect the members of the armed forces of this nation, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Give peace, Lord, to our homes and enliven them by Christ's resurrected life. Let the forgiveness of sins reign among husbands and wives, parents and children. Bless all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Navy, Edith, Doris, Emmeline, Rollin, Zachary, Graham, Karis, and Grant. We also thank and praise you for the gift of marriage and family. We ask you to be with those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, especially David and Gina Kottmeyer. Keep them in your grace and mercy as they grow in love for you and for each other. We also thank and praise you today for the birth of Reed Hunter Nelson, newborn son of Daniel and Kirsten Nelson, who was born on April 9th, and for the new birth of water and the word which you granted to Heidi Louise Rossi yesterday afternoon, and which you will grant to Jace Henry Michael later today. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, as your son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to the troubled in our midst, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you those who are recovering from recent surgeries, especially Dee and Ray, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Layla, Fran, Marvin, Harley, Amy, Beulah, Verdell, Jim, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Greg, Linda, Marvin, Francis, Chris, Jean, Sam, Case, Laverne, Norma, Diane, Brenda, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Comfort also those who weep, especially the family and friends of Connie Brink, with the blessed joy of Easter morning. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Just as a reminder, if you brought an offering or a tithe with you to worship today, you may place those in the basket which is located in the narthex. At this time, we will continue the service with an offertory hymn, Spread the Reign of God the Lord. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. At this time, I'll invite any of our Sunday school students and teachers to dismiss and head on over to the school. Good morning. A few announcements before we leave and enjoy this beautiful day that God has given us. I wanted to mention, I talked about Connie Brink in the funeral, in the prayers. The funeral arrangements have been made, and I wanted to announce those to you. Tomorrow morning, from 10 until 11 o'clock, that will be visitation, and then 11 o'clock is the funeral. All of that is taking place over at Zion UCC Church right here in Hoyleton. Do I have that all right, Jerry? So I wanted to make sure you all had that information. Also, a few other things going on. Today is the preschool and kindergarten open house and registration day. So that is happening from 11:30 until about 12:30 over in the basement in the school. So anyone who's interested in enrolling their child for next year is invited to come and be a part of that. Also, wanted to mention that tomorrow is our quarterly voters meeting, and so there is actually an agenda for you in the bulletin. You can check out the topics that are going to be covered tomorrow night. We hope that all of our voting members will consider coming and joining us, 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary tomorrow evening. And then, on Tuesday, we'll have a vacation Bible school planning committee meeting that's going to be at 7 o'clock. VBS is right around the corner, and we're very excited for our Rainforest Explorers VBS this year. So that meeting will take place up in the youth loft over at school. And then I wanted to let you all know that on Tuesday as well, that's the day that I'm going to be leaving and heading out to Connecticut to go visit my family. I'm taking a week to head out there, and it's just me and Max this time. So myself and the baby flying out to see my parents and other family. So I'll be leaving this Tuesday, and I will return to Hoyleton the following Tuesday, the 27th. In the meantime, next Sunday, you'll have an opportunity to hear from Vicar Brett Jones. So remember Brett, who used to serve as our school administrator and is now studying at the seminary. He's in his vicarage at Salem Lutheran Church and School in Afton, Missouri, and he has agreed to come and preach here next week. So it'll be great to hear him as a vicar next Sunday. So we hope you can come and be there for that. And then if there are any pastoral emergencies that come up while I'm away, Pastor Tim Miller at St. John's in New Minden and St. Luke's Covington, he has decided that he will be on call for me. So you can either contact him directly, and his phone number is there in the bulletin, or you can call the office and Jane can get a hold of him for you. So just want to let you know about that. And then the last thing that I wanted to mention, and as I mentioned in the prayers, our school administrator candidate, John Schaff, is here visiting Hoyleton today with his wife, Leandra. They're sitting right here in the pew. And so we wanted to give them an opportunity to meet all of you. And I think since the sun's out and it's nice enough outside, I'm going to invite them to exit along with me outside. And so you'll have an opportunity to say hi, and let's give them a nice warm welcome here in Hoyleton, okay? Yeah. Are there any other announcements that I missed today? Yes, Elaine. Okay, so there are still some Easter lilies that need to be picked up. If any of you had donated one, would like to take it home with you, they are over here in the overflow room for you. Thank you, Elaine. Any others? Okay, if not, then have a wonderful, blessed day and blessed week. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for joining us. Have a blessed week.